Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm so delighted to be back in studio today. We are going to be talking about a topic that I think is not only interesting, but extremely usable. Advertising agencies depend on it. How we react to people is very much affected by it. What is that subject? The subject is color. My guest today is Pamela Osley. We're going to be talking about life colors and what the colors in your aura reveal. And this has to do with personality and other things. So Pamela, welcome to the show. And we were gabbing a mile a minute. My poor engineer just all of a sudden yelled out 5 seconds before airtime, and then we had to shut up.
I know, we were having so much fun.
Those guys have such patience with me. Anyway, I'm so delighted that you're on the air with me, and I really find it fascinating that color is something that you have really had not only a professional interest in, but you really like educating people about color. Tell us why that has been the case with you. I mean, you're a woman, you've got your own radio show, you're highly intuitive yourself. What made you decide to go off into this particular modality?
You know what? I think it decided on me.
It did?
Yes. I mean, you know, I was running rock and roll concerts and theaters, and I went to hear a psychic speak, and he pulled me up in front of the room that day and said, you know how to see what's going on with people. You know how to do intuitive psychic work. I want you to tell people what you see about them. And I was surprised to find that I actually did know very specific things about people. And then I met a woman who could see auras. She thought everyone could, and when she described to people what that meant about them, their different personality types, it matched with what I was picking up psychically about people. So I went, oh, that's a blue. Oh, that's a violet. That's a yellow. So over the years, it's just more and more developed when I see people, because now I see auras too. So the different colors, just what you said, reveal different personality types, and I find it very helpful when people understand who they are, their life purpose. It turns on a big light bulb for them.
It really can. Now, I want to ask you a very direct question, and I enjoy teaching a great deal. I've been involved in the work of mine for many years, and once in a while, it's never been a focus of mine to focus on people's auras, ever, and I'm always intrigued, and one of the questions I know a student would ask you, how did you develop it? What were the disciplines? What did you do to be able to recognize the colors
someone? That's a great question, Donna. First of all, I tell people when I teach them how to do this is you have to be willing to do this, because so many people are afraid to develop that ability, that they're afraid that, you know, people will judge them or they'll see something weird. So number one, you have to be, and that's what I did. I was very willing to open up to that energy. And number two, when I started seeing it or feeling it, first I felt them. And I, you know, we've all felt them, Donna. That's why we feel drawn to some people, and other people we just don't even want to be near.
Right.
So we've all felt them. And so I was willing to learn about the different colors. And then when I did start seeing them, I didn't run away, and I validated what I was seeing, which is the hardest for most people when they start getting intuitive hits or we see something, we go, oh, that must just be my imagination. Mm-hmm. So I tell people they have to be willing, then they have to validate what they see, and then bottom line, it's practice. It's
Absolutely.
Just practice, like everything else that we do.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's very true. Now, I'm glad you shared what you did, because so many times, at least when I've taught classes, there are so many different ways that the intuitive psychic capacity can demonstrate itself in people. And I just love seeing the variety. I think it's so exciting because every person is very unique.
Mm-hmm.
I have always found colors tell a lot. But at the same time, you really, in clothes, for example, you look at the advertising agencies, you look at fashion designers, you look at certain environments around you. interior design. Color has such a phenomenal impact, such a phenomenal impact. And yet, when it comes to discussing something about auras, people go, excuse me, what planet did you come from? And you go, well, let's see. It might be Seattle, Washington. Do you know that?
You are
Modesto, California. Yeah, I'm familiar with
it. You're so right. You're so right. But you want to hear something fun, Donna, is that we've actually been using the language of aura colors in our language for centuries. We talk about somebody being true blue, or I'm feeling blue today. And that actually describes a blue aura color personality. Or we've got chicken yellow or happy face yellows, and those are yellow personalities. Or we've got green with envy, green money. That's a green personality. So we've been using this language for red with passion, red with anger. It shows up in the aura as that color. So I think somebody way back when was seeing these auras.
And I, again, it's very difficult, I think, for people to shift into the understanding. This is nothing new. It is awakening ourselves, or awakening is a good word to use, to the understanding that if we're aware of colors and we pay attention to what's going on around us, we can read a lot. I can remember a mentor I had many years ago. His name was Reverend Humble. And he said, if you want to learn about colors, study nature. And, of course, so many of us in the class looked at him and said, okay, we look at nature. What are we supposed to see? You know, it's sort of like deer with the headlights in the eyes. And you go, really? And he described it so simply. He said, watch the colors of nature throughout the year. When you see spring coming in, when you see summer, the color vibrancy is alive. It's brilliant. You'll see all kinds of shades of green. You'll see pinks and blues and all kinds of things. And he said, it's radiant. It's vibrant. When the life force starts leaving, the colors start changing. Look at plants when they're not healthy. What color are they? Look at the flowers when they're dying. What shades are they turning? Why is something unattractive? Why does something look unhealthy? What does a mold look like? And I'm telling you, it's almost like someone says, oh, really? Is that what we need to pay attention to? It's so simple.
Right, right. And you know what? That exactly, that we've been taught now that everything is made of energy. And so energy radiating from us, and it's the same thing with our own bodies, Donna. It's like if somebody's really alive and happy and vibrant, their aura is really bright and strong and powerful. And if they're sick, or I've seen people that are about ready to leave the planet, and their aura is so faded you can't even see it.
That is very true. And illness many times will radiate a color. That, and it's something people need to learn how they can read those colors. And I have to laugh when anybody poo-poos this. I say, excuse me, don't you know about MRIs and scanners and this type of thing? They go, yeah. And I said, have you ever observed that they use color to determine illness? This is for heat. This is where circulation is poor. And it's all in color. They are reading energy. And that is okay in people's minds, but it's hard for them to recognize that you can do this. And you can, like you said a moment ago, you radiate towards people. There is something in a person's voice. It's just this energy that's coming across. And they are. They are a color. They are something that just that will be there with such awareness. And you'll be around some people, like you've said, that they're very ill. They radiate a color that is very unhealthy. You'll sometimes find that they dress exactly how they feel. As far as I'm concerned, some of the dress designers, I was in a major store the other day, and I took a look at the clothes, and I thought, this person really isn't feeling very well. They don't. They really picked the lousiest colors I've ever seen in my life.
Depressed designers.
I said, oh, I don't know what their day was like, but it was not a good day. Anyway, just being a little sassy there, but let's talk about what it is that you are so skilled with. Now, your book is fascinating because you have all kinds of questionnaires in your book that enable people to find out about their life color. Now, you have life color 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and then there's a red overlay. Explain to my audience what that is all about.
What the different colors are or the red overlay?
Well, what the different life colors mean.
People take the questionnaire in my book or on my website, they can take it for free, too, on my website, auracolors.com, or they can go to my dating site, lovecolors.com, and take the quiz for free and find out what their aura colors are. So each one of those numbers that you said, once they're through taking the questionnaire, it correlates to a color, so somebody can find out if they're red or a magenta or a violet or lavender, and each one of those different colors represents a different personality type, and it shows the life purpose and what they're like in relationship, what they need in relationship, Donna, even what careers they're going to be drawn to. So, for example, blues, if somebody tests really high on the blue aura colors, blues are the nurturers and the teachers and the counselors and the nurses, and they're more emotional and they're more empathetic and more psychic, and they just really want to help people. And so their life purpose is to bring love onto the planet and to be in service, to help other people. And then there are violets, and I'm picking colors that you have in your aura, by the way.
That's very interesting. Thank you.
Violets are what we call the mature souls, the ones that are here to reach the masses. They're teachers and leaders and visionaries, and they really want to shift the consciousness. They want to help improve the quality of life for people. And blues are very homebody. They like their home, their familiar stores, and violets are much more global and international, and they feel like they need to make a difference here. And a lot of violets feel, especially right now because we're in a violet age, a violet era where violets are really needing to transform the planet. So a lot of violets have felt ever since they were little that they were supposed to do something very big and very important that makes a difference here. And they're very humanitarian. They're drawn to things like the media or teaching or psychology or performing or getting into causes and sometimes even politics and law. So you see the different personality types. And so there's 14 different aura colors, and most people have two life colors like you do. And you've even added a little bit of tan in your aura, which is so cute. That makes you more practical and responsible and logical. And, you know, you'll make sure the bills are paid and take care of the details, but it's not, it's what you've learned how to do.
Well, I'm a Capricorn. I came in, I was a stubborn little goat. So
there you go. There you go. Well, so you have those colors, and what helps people is, one, it validates themselves. When they find out what their colors are, it validates, it gives them permission to be who they are, because so many people are running around the planet unhappy because they've been raised to think they're supposed to do something with their career. They're supposed to have a certain type of relationship. So, one, it gives them freedom and permission to be who they really are, not box them in or limit them or categorize them, but it also helps with our relationships. That's why I created a dating site, because I know which of the aura personalities are the most compatible with each other and which ones are really going to have a hard time being in a relationship together because they're so opposite and they have such different priorities that they're just going to be butting heads the whole time.
Now, let's add in this red color overlay, and that's just a little questionnaire. That's just a little one. The other ones are very detailed, very involved, but they're fun to take. And I have to share with my listeners, you were talking about the violet, you were talking about the blue. One, I have a tremendous amount of navy blue and a few other tones of blue in my wardrobe. It's very much part of my business attire frequently. And then when I took the test, when I did the life colors, the first came up the abstract tan, and then the second was green.
And oh, yeah,
then
you
the
act
occupation,
like a green.
The occupation was a violet green. So it was fun for you to make the comments you did, and that's why I laughed when I did and told you I was a Capricorn when you said there's a little bit of tan in there, a little bit of practical self, and there is. I mean, it's just there's very much that part of me. That is a very, very strong component.
Right.
And
lot of you violets think you are greens because they're very similar. But here's the difference, Donna. Greens are, Donald Trump's a green, Bill Gates is green and violet. Greens, it's all about power and money and achieving. They're type A personalities, but their biggest priority really is about money. Where violets, they're more humanitarian, they're compassionate, they're spiritual. They really want to make a difference. And typically when violets have a lot of money, they want to help charities. They want to really help other people. And Greens are like, no, I want the most expensive mansion I can get my hands on and the most expensive. So do you understand? I mean, you've added some green in there to do business, but I don't get you are a green life color.
Oh, no, but, no. That was occupation that came in there. So the fact is, one of the things that is very much a part of me is that I'm perfectly happy working with money, but it's not my focus.
Right.
It never has been my focus.
Right.
And I've been often teased by my husband about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, don't you get it? Don't you understand? And he, because he's a double Virgo. And so he's, don't you? And I said, that's very nice. That's very nice.
Well, you know what, Donna? You're bringing up a really good point, too. The astrology signs fit in really well with the aura colors. The way I look at it is they're all signs or signals or like breadcrumbs that we left behind. So in case we got to the planet, went, now what was I going to do here? We've left all kinds of iridology and palmistry and, you know, astrology and numerology, all kinds of little symbols behind. I don't see that those run us. I see that they reflect back to us to remind us who we are and what we decided to do here.
I agree. Now you give very deep descriptions with after someone goes through the test and they can review the color combinations. Your book is really easy to use, and yet your detail is amazing. One of the colors that intrigued me are the information about yellow, and you talk about children.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just looking right now at the write-up about yellow children, children that love that color. And you said that they're very shy, but when they really like the people that are around them, they are showtime. They really have a good time. They're really out there, and they really enjoy that. And they're active and curious. I really think the information you give about colors in children is so wonderful. Let's break down a little bit of that for my audience.
Great, because I really feel that this helps parents and teachers, anyone that works with children, because, you know, not all children learn alike, and they don't need the same things. Yellows, it's funny that you bring up yellows because there's two different types of yellows. There are the really shy, sensitive, quite, they are very sensitive, and or they're very playful comedians. They love, you know, just playing. They came here to bring joy to the planet, and they are pleasers, but yellows are also very stubborn. Yellows don't like being told what to do. So when parents find out what their children's aura colors are, they can raise them. Like yellows are usually the ones, yellow children especially, but even adults, are usually the ones that get diagnosed as ADD. Yellows have a really hard time sitting still. They're curious, they're active, they need sports, they need dance, they need something that they can express themselves physically, and then they're happy. If you tell a yellow child they have to sit in a school desk all day long and don't move and don't budge, they actually start collapsing. They start becoming very unhappy, and their playful spirit, their creative spirit, it just dies. So that's not the way to treat a yellow. So you can see if people understand the different personalities, they can encourage them to learn with their skills, the ones that really make them be alive. Like violets get bored in school. They need to be around teachers that are dynamic and charismatic, that know more than they do, because violets usually know more than the teacher. And with and they go 150. Violets can see this big picture. They've already got the thing. It's like, all right, I got it all. Where tans are more methodical and analytical, and they need all the data. They need the facts. They need the details. So tans process step one, step two, step three. And if violets get bored with that, they go, come on, I want the big picture. What's the story here? So it can be challenging for teachers, but it's also helpful to know how to talk that person's language, that child's language.
That's a wonderful way to be able to work with children, I think, and even with adults. I think understanding color can make such a difference for the individual, as well as, you know, working with family members, being in a professional environment. And gee, it's a great thing for conversation. You can say, gee, I think you're a green. Okay, let's check you out.
That's right. And people are such fast learners. They can pick this up very quickly and can usually identify other people very quickly. It really helps with marriages and relationships so that the spouse doesn't go, what is wrong with you? How come you're not more like me? It's like, well, because I'm a lavender, and look what lavenders are like. Oh, okay, I get it. And then they're more allowing.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Now, you have something that I've never heard anybody talk about before, and that is crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about crystal as a life color. Now, to me, a crystal is clear.
Mm-hmm.
It reflects all colors. It's
mm-hmm.
almost, in my view, like white. You know, it's just, it will, if it's a clear crystal, it absorbs whatever's around it, but it's not it. It's got everything there. So tell us about the crystal.
Well, you just said it. Crystal, people that have crystal aura colors are literally, their aura is clear. And they're what we call the auric chameleon, because when they're hanging out with, let's say, a magenta, their aura starts turning magenta. If they're hanging out with an indigo, they start turning indigo. Now, their auras are supposed to stay clear because they're natural healers. They're very sensitive. They're very intelligent, but they tend to want to spend a lot of time alone. If they're around a lot of people, it can blow their aura out. They're fragile, but they're intelligent, strong. But if they're around too many people, big crowds of people, all of a sudden their aura starts going wacko. So mm-hmm. they're very good healers. They need quiet. Their energy, they can heal people. They kind of channel healing energy through them. But then after they've worked with one person, they need to go meditate. They need to go be quiet. They need to go sit in the garden. So they're very unusual auras. A lot of people think that they are crystals because they can't figure out who they are. But mm-hmm. a lot of them are yellows, or they've just gotten a little confused. Crystals are actually very rare, but I have run across a few crystals.
Well, when you have that patterning, it really makes you vulnerable
mm-hmm.
because you can lose your identity very,
That's
very
right.
quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see where that would have a real strong application. Now, the crystal children, those kids are really going to have a difficult time unless they're in some kind of an empathetic environment.
Well, that's the case for indigo children and lavenders and crystals, because they're so unusual. So all of them, because they're such a different frequency here, they're such an unusual type of personality, people don't understand them yet, but they're getting there. A lot of indigos are making themselves known right now. Michael Jackson was an indigo. They tend to be very androgynous, very highly spiritually developed. But with an indigo, it's hard to tell if they're gay or straight, male or female. They seem to have that, both that yin and yang within them.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be very stubborn and very very spiritually high-principled. And a lot of people think that they're indigos, but again, you can look at an indigo and feel like they're not really from this planet sometimes. So just so unusual. So a lot of autistic children, a lot of indigos are being categorized as autistic children right now, which is very interesting. Because they're very strong-willed, and they won't talk unless they want to talk. So there's a lot of indigos. They don't talk until they're like 5 or 7 years old. And so people think there's something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm. And so, there isn't.
Yeah, so no, there's not. But we're not used to that frequency yet. Just like when the violets started coming onto the, you know, really coming into their power, because in the 50s it was kind of a blue era. Mom stayed home and baked cookies, and father knew best.
Mm-hmm.
And when the violet energy started coming onto the planet really strong, a lot of the violets were pushing people's buttons. We had like John and Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, you know, people were like the Beatles, Elvis Presley, a lot of violet in their auras. So they were upsetting the apple cart, and people didn't like that. But violets are all about global and freedom and peace, and, you know, and violets are very passionate also. So that kind of shook the world up. Well, now violets are in power, so people aren't killing violets anymore. They're letting them be here. Spielberg and George Lucas and Bono and George Clooney have a lot of violet, and Oprah is a violet yellow. So once that frequency, once people get used to it and the violets educate people about that thinking, then it's okay. But right now the indigos and the crystals are having a hard time educating the masses of what this new consciousness is about, this new allowing people to be who they are.
Well, it is a fascinating time, because there are big death throes that are being experienced with so many of particular patternings and modalities, because it is in direct opposition to what they have indoctrinated themselves with, and so there is the challenge. And it's fascinating to watch it. Now, in your book, you go into relationships, and you have so many classifications. You have the emotional life colors,
mm-hmm.
the mental life colors. And I just was so intrigued with everything that what I was able to do, I did. And I was really thinking, this is a whole different perspective on how colors make a difference. Now, auras change. People, dependent on what they're doing, they're changing every 3 seconds. I mean, it's just the way it is. Suddenly you're getting tired, your aura can get very weak looking, and then if you're just absolutely thrilled about something, it'll change. If you get mad over something, it changes. But you feel that there are basic colors that come in with a person, and they can develop it. Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely. So the way I see them, and I've run into people that see them the same way I do, and I've run into people that see them differently. So mm-hmm. it's just like, you know, we taste food differently, so it's okay.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
in my experience, the one or two bands of color in your aura, meaning the closest to your body, those two bands typically don't change in a person's lifetime. Those show the life purpose and the personality. The outer bands, and most people have about 6 feet of bands around them mm-hmm. that radiate out like, you know, like layers. The outer bands change all the time according to what's going on with the person at the time, just like you said. So somebody's angry, I see red showing up in their outer bands. But if that's not a life color, because there is a red life color, if that's not a life color, that will eventually fade out and go away, and it'll change to something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the outer bands that do change according to a person's mood or whatever they're going through. I see people that are really focused on their work, and they're trying to make a lot of money, and a lot of green shows up in their outer bands. Like, okay, mm-hmm. we are being a workaholic now.
Yes, yes. Well, I think it's also fascinating, and of course, Edgar Cayce was one of the first to really go into colors, and in the Western world anyway, mm-hmm. in the Eastern modality, in the Far Eastern modality, in the Himalayas, etc., they've always been familiar with colors. They've known about that, and they would talk about that quite a bit. But in the Western world, Cayce was the one that first brought it out, and he really went through very unique experiences of his own.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I find fascinating with color are the shades. And the lighter they are, if they're clear and they're vibrant, it just to me represents a dynamic. If it's really faded or dull or looks like puce green, I know something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating to me how people will wear colors that reflect what they're feeling. And when they shift their moods, and you'll look at them and say, why are you wearing that color? It just looks awful on you. Well, it's the end color. Police, take it off. My God, it's ugly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you go, Well, someone that's aware, they'll realize it's not in harmony with them.
Right. That's right.
It's just fascinating to me.
Right.
It really, really is.
I want to let people know that I have a lot of videos, like on my website, lovecolors.com. They can sign up, it's free, and they can go watch, they can take the test, find out what their colors are, and then they can go and watch all the videos on the different aura colors. If they don't want to read about it, they can just enjoy watching about it.
Oh, that's fabulous. So that's lovecolors.com.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you quickly, in the couple of minutes we have left, what is one of the most fascinating experiences you've had with someone's color that when you saw it, you went, is this for real?
Oh my gosh, that's almost a daily thing. You know what?
Oh,
you know what's fun, Donna, is watching somebody on stage, like a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
I got to watch Deepak Chopra on stage, and his aura, he's got a lot of violet in his aura. He's also got quite a bit of green in his aura and a little touch of yellow. His aura got so big when he was just speaking, it was amazing. And then the other fascinating energy that I had, it wasn't a positive, but I had a client come to me, and she had no aura. There was absolutely no aura on her.
Oh, my goodness.
It was like, oh, my gosh. And then when I tuned into her, we saw, and she knew it, that she had cancer, and she was
mm-hmm.
gone within 2 days.
Yes.
And that was a trip. I had never seen that before.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that is a reality. Their energy force is getting ready to release itself from its container, and it's not there.
Right. I went skydiving once, and the whole group of guys on the plane, when they found out I could see auras and what that meant, before they jumped out of the plane, they went, "How's my aura? Do I have an aura?" That was funny.
Have I got one?
If I don't have one, I'm not jumping out of this plane.
Oh, Pamela, this has just been absolutely wonderful. Now, you have the website lovecolors.com, and what's the other one that you have?
The other one is auracolors.com, so it's A-U-R-A, colors. .com, and they can learn more about it there, too. I just don't have the videos on that one, but they can still take the quiz.
Absolutely. So take the quiz. It's fun, it's fascinating, and it's pretty accurate, I'll tell you. So, Pamela Ostley, it's been a delight having you as a guest today. Thank you ever so much, and continue to share your knowledge. It's absolutely fascinating. I think it's wonderful.
Thank you, Donna, and thank you so much for the work you're doing, too. I really like your show, so I hope you keep up the good work, too.
I definitely will, my dear. You have a successful and wonderful life, as well as the day that we're living right now at this moment. This is Donna Sebo. It's been a delight having Pamela with me. LoveColors.com, AuraColors.com. Go to either one. You take all these fun tests and find out some special things about yourself. We're going to be back in just a minute. Donna Sebo here. Don't go away.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And if you would like to give me a buzz, let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the toll-free worldwide number to call into, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And that's all you need to do. Just call me up, and I want your first name or your initial. I also like to know where you're calling in from. Then sit back and relax and let me do what I do. I'll give you information about yourself, what's going on in your life, and then you can ask me a question about anything that you like. Now, quickly, I want to mention, day after tomorrow, I am going to be appearing in Tukwila, Seattle area, at the Best Western Plus River's Edge Meeting Room, and that's at 15901 West Valley Highway. For those of you who are in the Seattle, or actually Western Washington area, this is going to be a marvelous event, and this is an all-day event. Now, it's coming in two stages. The first stage is from 10 in the morning until 4:30 in the afternoon. It's free to the public. Anyone can come in. There's going to be healers, masseuses, different people like myself. I'm going to have a booth there, and we are going to have books and all kinds of things. I'll also be doing many consultations for people. So there's a lot of activity that's going to be going on, and it's a wonderful environment. You'll have a chance to chat with different people. And then when we close the doors at 4:30, the doors will be reopened at 6 in the evening. I am going to be a featured speaker along with Michael Shane, who is a transphysical phenomena medium. This kind of talent is very rare, so I will be speaking and demonstrating Saturday evening. Michael will be speaking, demonstrating, doing billet work. It's marvelous what he's able to do. So we will be there. There's going to be music. It's going to be a very entertaining evening. There is a fee of $35, and there's just going to be all kinds of fascinating things going on. So I would like to think that you will have the time to come along and join us this Saturday evening, Saturday, July 30th. Now, if you need more information, go to theascensionfoundation.com, theascensionfoundation.com, or you can call them directly at 206-356-6356, and they will be happy to answer any questions. By the way, my class on Tuesday evening, I was just absolutely awesome, and I was just thrilled with the turnout and the interaction that we had in the class. As I was saying when Pamela was on the air with me, that I so enjoy seeing the various aspects of talent and capability that people have. It is absolutely wonderful to be able to show people that they have capabilities and talents of their own, and if they want to learn more and they want to practice, they can develop their own particular intuitive skills. And they're as diversified as there are people. There's just so many ways that it can express itself. So I always enjoy teaching and sharing, much like Pamela does, because we realize that the more that we can share information with others, the more empowering it is going to be for the right kind of knowledge to be out there. Instead of just dealing with an attitude of woo-woo stuff, it's realizing that this is a very normal, natural part of life. But it's understanding what it is so that you can utilize it in the right way, so that your life is going to have more harmony and balance, and you'll feel like you're more empowered as a person. And I think intuitive development, it goes a long way to creating that balance. And I want to thank the people at the Progressive Spiritual Center for just doing such a nice job of supporting me and the class that I had, participating in it, and providing just such a wonderful environment for people over the all. Everyone there just really enjoyed themselves, and I just am very grateful to all of them. Well, I wanted to share a positive thought with you in that you hear so much stuff about how bad the stinking world is and how lousy people are, and you can't trust this, and you can't do that. And I'm telling you, it really, if you buy into that, you're going to find that you're going to end up wanting to be a recluse up on Mount McKinley in Alaska and never wanting to see the light of day. Well, that's not the way to live life. The way to live life is to realize, yes, there's a few stinking individuals in this world, but the majority of people are very thoughtful. The majority of people are working hard, and they're doing the best they can with their lives. And thoughtfulness is also a part of their life experience, and they're not out there waving flags and demanding attention and stomping and screaming and having tantrums. They're not doing that. They are living their life with an attitude that they just have to take care of business as it presents itself to them. Well, there are a couple of things that came my way that I thought was really special, and it's how people do good things for other people, regardless of their age. And this is by Diane Bradshaw. She said, by the time her granddaughter turned 8, she had absolutely become an avid reader. I couldn't keep up with the books that she needed. She said she just wanted this book, that book, the other book. It was just amazing. Well, I ended up having so many books, Diane said, that I told her, sweetie, we can't keep all of these books. We need to get rid of the ones that you really don't want to read anymore. So she sat down with her granddaughter, and they were looking at all the stories. And her granddaughter turned around to her and said, Grandma, do you think we could give these to the hospital where you work? Maybe the kids there would like to read them. Well, her grandmother was so pleased. There was no comment about this. Her granddaughter came up with this all on her own. She was so thrilled with her, and she said, I'm really proud of my granddaughter because she thought things through and she really wanted to make a difference with other people. So they took the box of books and they took it to the hospital, to the children's ward. And they had 3 dozen children's books, and the people at the hospital were just thrilled because so many of those children don't have very much to make their days brighter, and books do that. Well, not only was that one story, there was another story by Shirley Link. She said, my mom and I decided to have a fun girls' day out, so we visited a casino to try our hand at a few games. As it turns out, woohoo, we got lucky. After we ate dinner, we found out we had won a free buffet meal for two. We were thrilled. Oh, that's marvelous. But we wondered what we were going to do with the tickets. We had already eaten. We were full. We were going to be going to a buffet. Well, there was a mother and daughter that walked by them, and they were about to go into the buffet. And Shirley tapped the mother on the shoulder and said, excuse me, we've just won these free dinner tickets, but we've already eaten. Would you like to use them instead? The mother was thrilled. They accepted our gift, and the mother-daughter said that they'd be sure to pay our kindness forward. Now think about that. They made the commitment they were going to do something like that for someone else. Shirley said when she and her mother left, they were just feeling good. Not only had they had a winning night, but they felt like something special had happened between themselves and two strangers that they probably would never see again. But those two strangers made a commitment. They were going to pass the good that they'd given to them along to someone else at another time. Doesn't that make you feel good? You see, there's lots of little small things that happen. And I'll just share something with you that happened to me just a few days ago. I happened to be doing some grocery shopping, and the place that I go to, usually they have these real sturdy boxes, and they're easy for me to lift up, and I can load them up with all kinds of groceries and put them in the trunk of the car. Well, I had wheeled this out. They have very large flatbed carts, and I had wheeled everything out, and the big boxes were sitting on the cart. This gentleman got out of a car. He was a young man, probably in his late 20s, early 30s, and he decided he wanted to talk to me about something, and he came over and he said, how about if I help you with this? And I just looked at him. Now, there was a split second where I was going to say, oh, thank you, no, I can handle this myself, and I realized that was the wrong thing to do. This young man really wanted to help me, and I said, thank you, I appreciate your thoughtfulness. It made his day. And I looked at his face, and he just felt good. And so there was something that I remembered that I had that I wanted to share with him, and I gave him a gift. He said, wow, I didn't expect this. I didn't want anything from you. I said, no, that's not why I'm doing it. I have this available. I would like to share this with you. And I did, and he was thrilled because it was something that he really, really enjoyed. And I said, it's my gift to you, and I want you to know how much I appreciate your thoughtfulness. Well, he went a step further. I was getting in my car, and he tooted his horn, and he said, whoops, wait a minute, got out of his car again. I had laid down a couple of boxes filled with milk cartons. He said, you don't want to drive over these, ma'am. He put them in. He handed them to me, and I put them in the car. You know, sometimes life just gives you gifts. And it may not be a lottery ticket worth $1 million. But kindness and thoughtfulness go a long way. And sometimes when you're in a place where people are really having difficult times, just being a good listener can mean the world. It really does mean a lot. Not being judgmental means a lot. So when you go about your day, wherever you are, whatever your environment may be, I don't care if you're rich or poor or in between. Understand that who you are makes a difference. What you do and your standards of ethics and action make a difference. Remember that, because you're very special and you're here for a purpose, and that purpose is to be the best human being you possibly can be. That doesn't mean you're not going to have times in your life where you're going to wonder if the universe really knows what it's doing, because you will have those moments, I guarantee you. But on the other hand, I want you to know that it is important that you are awake to this experience that we call life. It makes a difference. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. Telephone number, by the way, it's a new one, 888-627-6008. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with B.J. Gallagher. She's a repeat guest on my show, wonderful writer. And she said, if God's your co-pilot, switch seats. I think you'll find it quite interesting. She's going to be on the air with me tomorrow. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. When we come back, I've got some good things to share with you. Don't go away.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna, telephone number to call into. If you would like to chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, is 888-627-6008. I have a quote I want to share with you. Hans V. Kaltenborn, he said, if there is one thing more than any other that characterizes the average American, it is his eagerness to learn almost anything at almost any age. I loved that when I saw it. I said, yes, we need to realize that the love of learning is inherent in an individual unless they're taught otherwise. So loving to learn will keep you young. It will keep you happy. I don't care whether you're 19 or 105. It really works. All right, I want to share a spooky story with you. It's about the Haw Branch hauntings. Have you ever heard of them? I hadn't. Well, apparently, on May 23rd, in 1966, 1967, and 1968, at the Haw Branch, which was a Victorian manor built in 1745, so it's a historical place, in Virginia, there was a phenomena that was going on there, and blood-curdling screams ripping through this ancestral home. The McConaughey family owned the home, and these screams, these terrifying cries, began in November 1965, but they always happened, you know, pretty much around a similar time. It was in November of 1965. It occurred again in May 23rd, 1966, and then on November 23rd in 1966, and then on May 23rd, 1967. Why that time frame? Who knows? Nobody's been able to figure it out. But then, when the screams stopped, they were replaced. There was a female phantom. Intriguing? You bet. She was called the Lady in White. Now, she was, they described her as a ghostly white silhouette wearing a floor-length dress with a full skirt. And they were actually able to count how long she was visible. She was visible for 10 seconds, and then she went poof, she disappeared. Well, when that happened, the first week that happened, the family dog just demanded to be let into the house. And when it did enter the house, it rushed into the drawing room of his house. Remember, this is a house that was built in the 1700s, so they had these drawing rooms. And then they followed the dog. And the McConaughey's, the daughter said, our dog Blackie was sitting there wagging her tail and looking up at a lady in white who was standing in front of the fireplace. Now, that's not the end of the story. On May 23, 1968, heavy running footsteps were heard, and an enormous bird with a 6-foot wingspan was seen in the yard that had been lightened by the moonlight. The moon was so bright that evening. Another time, a man carrying a lantern emerged from the barn near the house, but when he got close to the house, the only thing they could see was the lantern going along all by itself. And then in 1969, there was a member of the McConaughey family that gave the McConaughey's that lived there a pastel portrait of an ancestor. The ancestor's name was Florence Wright. Now, when they opened up the package that the painting was in, they were very disappointed to find that it was a black and white charcoal drawing. They thought it was going to have vivid colors in it, and it didn't. But they said, this is our ancestor, so we're going to put it over the library mantle. Well, when they did that, they had some very interesting events occur. They heard women's voices in that room, the library. The next thing that happened is the portrait started to become colored. You're hearing me correctly. Florence, the woman that the painting was of, she showed up as a blue-eyed, red-haired girl sitting beside a pale jade vase with a soft pink rose in it. Once the picture had completely changed to color, the voices were no longer heard in the library. Now, Florence died before this picture was finished, the family found out, and her spirit, they said, had been locked in the picture. The voices, they felt, were those of two other women helping her to escape. I know, but that's the story. Fascinating stuff. Life is filled with so many curiosities. Absolutely amazing curiosities. And it makes for a good thing to share, I believe. Donna Sebo here. Let's see, 888-627-6008. Well, sometimes people don't think very clearly. Cynthia Franklin said her boss at the warehouse told a new guy not to stack boxes more than head high. He told the new guy, if the inspector shows up, he said, we'd get in trouble. So, any questions? This is what the new guy said. Yeah. How tall is the inspector? Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's life in the fast lane of life. Don't forget, for those of you in Washington, I'm going to be appearing at the event put on by the Ascension Foundation at the Best Western Plus River's Edge Meeting Room, and that's in Seattle. Check out their website, theascensionfoundation.com. You'll get all of the extra details there. Check out my newsletter. You'll get the address and information in there to go to DelphiInternational.com, and everything will be in order for you. And it's been so delightful to share this day with you. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You are here for a reason, and life is rich with opportunity. Don't be afraid to open the door to new experiences. There might be a gold mine behind that door waiting for you. You want to be sure that you don't miss out. This is Donna Sebo. Talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here at bbxradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.